Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, a place for saving, making, and having fun with your money. We offer you a chance to learn new and creative ways to reach your financial goals. Here on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, it's always about the money. To contact us, visit our website at www.cheapcheetah.com or at www.cheapcheetahwebs.com. And now, here is your host, Hill.
Good morning, my Cheap Cheetah family. How are you this morning? And happy Memorial Day to you. It is 10 o'clock New York time. It's cloudy, going to be 70. I think we went right in from, I think we missed spring. We didn't miss spring. We went from winter to summer and the heck with spring. How are you doing, family? First of all, before I get started, I want to thank my people in my chat room, my archiver, people who archive the show, people who are on my Facebook pages. Thank you, family, for your love and support. I appreciate it. Before we get into money in the news today, because we have a lot to talk about, trust me, I just want you to be aware that there's still free ebooks to be gotten. Frugal Living in 30 Minutes or Less, The Cheap Cheetah Way, or Holiday Savings, The Cheap Cheetah Way, two free ebooks. You can contact me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and I will gladly send you an ebook. Just put in the body, free ebooks. Come on, you don't want to miss out. We like free stuff. Also, please become part of the family if you're not already, if you're new to Cheap Cheetah Money Show, by visiting my Facebook page. Not just like the page, become a part of the page. Tell me what's going on in your life when it comes to saving, making, and having fun with money. You know, I want to know. You know, we all want to know. We're in this together, so we want to share about our financial lives and what we need and what we don't need, and, you know, maybe you have questions that somebody else can answer. Please become a part of that and visit me at the Cheap Cheetah Money Show on Facebook. Also, if you're not sure where to go, you can always go to my Cheap Cheetah page here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com and say, hey, Cheap Cheetah, where do I go with the rest of the family to find out what's going on about saving money, making money, and having fun with money? Also, folks, if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, I'd like to invite you for a cup of coffee. I'd like to have a meetup sometime in June or July. I want to see your pretty faces. So let me know if you're interested in having a monthly meetup where we talk about what we talk about here on the show, making, saving, and having fun with money. And we do it as a group thing. So let me know if you're interested in a meetup group within the tri-state area, and you can contact me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com and say, yes, I'm interested, or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, maybe we can do this online or whatever the case may be. But I really like to have a meetup because it's been a long time, and I haven't seen you, and I missed you. Okay. After all that said, money in the news. Again, happy Memorial Day, family. I hope your weekend is going great. I'm hoping you're having a lot of friends, family, you're going to the beach, which I'll talk about the beach with you later on. Basically, I just hope you're having fun this weekend, okay? Especially if you're not working, enjoy it. Get out, enjoy the sun, enjoy life, all right? Memorial Day course, you know that. Every holiday course, besides the stress of the traffic, the stress of getting there, the stress of when to come home, the stress of the maybe friends and family environment, it costs money, okay? Memorial Day course. To eat a burger is fine. You got to skip the beer, and I'll tell you why. The cost of Memorial Day cookouts, 20 items for 12 people on a get-together on average for a Memorial Day cookout or any holiday cookout will cost you $229.13, okay? That's a 57 cents more than last year, okay? And getting beer this year, because a lot of people, you know, used to get beers and stuff, it's what's making this cost more. Beer went up 25%. Now, if you do like I do, when you have people over for barbecues or whatever, everybody bring something. You know how to cook macaroni and cheese. You know how to make a good ham. You know how to make a Jell-O mold. Bring it. It cuts down on the cost. You will make maybe, say, I'll make the main meats, and I'll supply the silverware and the sodas. You know how to make a cake. I like your cake. Bring it. Everybody got to bring something. I don't care, you know, if the fellas come over, bring a bottle of wine, bring a case of beer. Bring something. It makes it cheaper. And this is family and friends, so no, they won't be offended when you tell them what you're bringing. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you cut that cost down, because $229 for 12 people, sometimes it's a little steep for your budget. So watch that, because a lot of people are having cookouts today. So, again, ask them what you're bringing. If you're in, this is the house hunting season, okay? Winter not so much, but come the summertime and the fall and stuff, people start looking for houses because people want to get out and people want to move and they want to do a lot of things. Especially in my area where I am in Queens, we have a lot of houses for sale. So I know I'm going to see a lot of people looking at these houses here. Tips for house hunting. Since there's so few houses that might meet your criteria, and since there's so many people looking for houses, I'm going to give you a few tips of what to do before you start looking for a house, okay? So, tip number one, make sure you get pre-approved, okay, for a mortgage. If you're doing going the bank route, make sure you get pre-approved. That means, you know, you go into the bank, you're sitting down with a mortgage lender, and he's asking you a million questions, he's checking your credit, and he's going to give you a pre-approved letter, which the letter states that you can buy a house for X amount of dollars. So depending on your income and what you have in the bank and your debt, he may say, okay, you can get a house up to $350,000. And he'll print you a letter saying, this is how much you can get a mortgage for. You're not actually getting the mortgage yet, but you're getting approved to get a mortgage from that bank for X amount of dollars. So make sure you get a pre-approval letter. And I don't know where you are, but here in New York, real estate agents will not look at you unless you have a pre-approval letter, because they want to know what kind of house you're looking for and how much, what your level of income is as far as how much the bank said you can afford to get a house for. And let me tell you a little trick with that, okay? You give a real estate person a pre-approval letter and say the pre-approval is $350,000. Okay, in New York, $350,000 is not gonna get you a hell of a lot of house. Okay, make it your rat hole, but anyway, the real estate agent will try to get you a house up to your pre-approval letter. All right, if the letter says you can get a house for $350,000, you can spend up to $350,000 for a house. Trust me and believe, a real estate agent will try to look for a house for $350,000. Okay. But you have to tell them, no, even though I can get a $350,000 house and the bank will give me $350,000 for a house, I don't want a $350,000 house. I want a $200,000 house. I want a $300,000 house. Just because I have the letter saying I can get approved for this does not mean that you want a house up to the approval amount. You want a house below the approval amount. Okay, so you got to get a pre-approval. Second thing. If you're looking for a house and trying to beat out the competitors and stuff, you got to be prepared. Second way to be prepared is put down as large a deposit as you can. That shows the buyers you are serious, okay? Meaning a lot of people save up for years for their down payment. And if it's a first house, it may be like 3% down payment, but if it's second or third house, if you're an investor, they want 20% down on the amount of the house. So, yes, you may have to save up for a couple of years because that's a couple of thousand dollars, unless you can get some kind of government assistance program, and I'm just talking first-time home buyers. If they still have programs to help you with the Fannie Mae, the Freddie Mac's with just a 3% down, that's still a lot. So if you can put over the amount that's required, the more the merrier. If you can do an all-cash deal, which sometimes that's a lot of money, the more the merrier. It makes it easy. You don't have to go through banks. So Figure that out. Figure out within your budget. If I'm going to buy a house, I have to have a large down payment. Tip three, for homeowners that have to go the mortgage route, on average, the mortgage rates are pretty low. And for a 30-year fixed rate, it's 3.61, which is not bad. And that was the week ending May 5th. So that's not bad. 3.61 is not bad for 30 years. But a lot of people say, why get a 30-year mortgage? Why not get a 15-year mortgage? You know, depending on how much you can afford, a 15 sounds much better than a 30. But sometimes people need the 30 years. Because you know the first 10 years on any mortgage is principal. I'm sorry, it's interest. It's interest. You're paying interest before you even touch the principal. So for a perfect example with me, I was paying, say if I'm paying say if I'm paying $1,000 a month for my mortgage payment that goes to the bank. Like $700 of that goes to interest. And like maybe $150 goes to principal. And the rest goes to, you know, paying out the my insurance and my property tax and stuff, since they were responsible for that. So the bulk of that money goes to interest the first 5 years. Because I kept telling myself, why is this loan not going down? And the loan was very small. But I'm like, I called up, oh, no, most of the money is going towards the interest, which is crazy. Tip number four. When house hunting, make sure you get a good real estate agent. And that's going to take time itself, because you can go through a lot of real estate agents, because some of them are just they're not a good match with you. Some of them are just about selling you a piece of crap and moving on to the next person because they're about their commission. You need somebody who's going to work with you and not against you, who understands what you're looking for, who is well-versed in the areas you want to be in, who just is taking their time, who's not more about commission, they're more about people. So those are the 3-4 tips when it comes to looking for a house. If you're out here house hunting this summer, what to think about. 5 things that rich people do with their money. Do we really care? I know we don't care, but we'll talk about it anyway. You know, it was a slow week for news this holiday weekend. So, you know, sister had to grab what she could from the newspaper. So we'll talk about this. All right? 5 things that rich people do when it comes to their money. And we're talking rich $3 million and above. So if you have $3 million above, you're considered rich. Heck, if you have $1 million and above, you're considered rich. Okay? First thing they do, they delay gratification. They invest in long-term goals. Their investment in long-term goals is more important than the new car that just came off the car lot, the new summer home that everybody's running to buy, the new piece of jewelry that everybody wants, the new vacation everybody's going to. They rather invest in things that make them money than things that depreciate. Okay? So instant gratification is not them. They look for long-term investments, which you should too. I'm not saying deny yourself. I really am not. What I'm saying is that do I need these nice little pair of sandals, or do I need to put the money towards stock? Do I need to buy extra sheets and pillowcases for my house when I have a bunch of them in the closet? Or can I take that money and put towards maybe a down payment on a new house or building up a down payment on a new house? Can I take this, do I need this new car, or can I still keep my old car and take the new car money and put it towards something that's going to make me money? You know what I'm saying? You get the idea. Rich people also use credit wisely or strategically. They use their credit to build wealth. Their credit card makes the money. Our credit cards just make us broke. You know what I mean? So they use their credit cards strategically. If I'm using this credit card, I'm buying something with it, and that something is going to bring me money back. So when I pay off the credit card, I still have the item, but the item is producing money. Okay? So if whatever it is that they're buying with their credit cards is producing them an income. Okay? Rich people also do the buy and hold, but we talked about this. They buy stuff and they hold it. Their biggest investments when it comes to buy and hold is real estate and stock. Sometimes they'll buy cars, but they buy the vintage cars. They'll buy land, which comes under real estate, and they'll buy it and hold it. And over the long run, that will make them a lot of money. So they do the buy and hold stuff. You can do the same thing. You can buy and hold stuff. You can buy stocks, buy it and hold it. You can buy your apartment or condo or co-op. You know, you live in it, and if you decide to move, you hold it and you rent it out. Buy a home. Something that's going to bring you income in. Okay? Rich also make tax-conscious investments. More than half of the huge net worth investors agree that investment decisions that factor in tax implications are better than pursuing high returns regardless of tax implications. Meaning that rich folks make investments in stuff that Uncle Sam can't get his greedy hands on. They look at, if I buy this, what are the ramifications when it comes to the taxes? Do I have to pay more taxes on this item? Or is this item going to be, I'm not going to pay a lot of taxes on this item. So before I buy, I have to look at, tax ramifications on the item, which makes sense. That's why a lot of them have tax shelters and stuff, because they don't want Uncle Sam to get his greedy little hands on their stuff. Because think about it. Certain things that you buy, you have to pay taxes on. Mostly a lot of stuff you buy, you got to pay taxes on. So, say if you're buying a house, you got to pay taxes on it. If you're buying a car, you got to pay taxes on it. If you get a big windfall from an inheritance, you got to pay taxes on it. But something like that, if you can buy a car or buy a house and put in some kind of tax shelter where Uncle Sam takes a bite, but not a big bite, out of your purchase, that's more better for you than for Uncle Sam. So you got to look at the tax ramifications when you buy stuff, especially big items where you know Uncle Sam's going to take a big chunk of that money. Okay? Rich people also invest in tangible assets. Again, we talked about this. They invest in real estate. They invest in farmland, anything that can produce money. And that's where your mind should be. Okay, you can't say, I don't have the same skills and capabilities. Yes, you do. Because to me, I feel that we're all like kind of created equal. We all have arms, legs. We all have a brain. So you got to use what you have to the best of your ability. Yeah, you may not have $3 million. You may have $30. Or you may have $3,000. But you got to use the extra money you have in order to help you make more money. You have to use it wisely. You have to use it the best of your ability. If you said, okay, I got $3,000 and I'm going to buy this clunker car to get me back and forth to work, or I'm going to buy this clunker car to fix up, repaint, and resell it, you know, you're using your brain and you're using what you have in front of you to better yourself and to better your finances. So, yeah, I think we're all created equal. Some of us are born with, how they say, silver spoons and gold spoons in our mouth. Fine. Those are the fortunate ones. But maybe if that's not you, because that sure wasn't me, I did the best that I could with what I had. Okay? So, and you could do the same thing. You can definitely do the same thing. Okay? And on that note, a word from my sponsor.
This message is for independent recording artists. Is your music career at a standstill? If so, let Access to a Rising Artist Promotions get it moving again and take it to the next level. We can assist you with building your brand through online radio promotion, social media marketing, and website development. And if you don't know what direction to go, get an opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation session to get you started in the creative aspect of developing a strategy on going forward with your music career. Get back on your music journey again and visit us online for a host of new opportunities that will put you in the spotlight at www.accesstoarisingartist.com. The ultimate platform for a rising artist to shine.
Thank you for my sponsor, Access to a Rising Artist. And you, too, can have a commercial on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show. Contact me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and we will discuss rates and times and everything like that. Or if you would like to be on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show or know someone who would like to talk about saving, making, and having fun with money, please contact us at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com. Now, back to our show, folks. Money in the news. Guess what? You wouldn't believe it. And it's been verified. This has been verified by the Federal Reserve, and you can't get no higher than that. Guess what they found? That we Americans are broke. It took the Federal Reserve to tell us we broke. Hell, we know we broke. You ain't got to tell us. We know. The Federal Reserve said that we Americans don't have a penny to our names, or like my mama said, a pot to piss in or a window to throw it at her. All right? You know, I love our government, but, you know, they just way too smart for me. We are broke. And they confirm that by this. 46% of Americans which struggled to meet a $400 emergency. Yeah, we know that one. 22% of most Americans are working 2 to 3 jobs. Almost a quarter of these who are lucky enough to be working have to work 2 or 3 jobs just to make ends meet. Okay? Before a $400 fender bender would put them over the edge. They would be begging, like, I need the money to pay from relatives and family and things like that. And did the federal government ask why these people working 3-4 jobs, 2-3 jobs? Because the minimum wage is not enough to support people's daily living, okay? Cost of things have went up. Food, gas, shelter. Shelter's ridiculous as far as rents and stuff. Transportation, everything's went up, but the cost of living has not went up. The minimum wage has not went up. So you bring home $250, maybe $500 every 2 weeks, and your rent is $1,000 a month. You do the math. It's crazy. So yeah, if there was an emergency and $400 fender bender, or if your child had to go to the hospital and your medical only covered a certain portion and you had to spit out the rest, yeah, it's no brainer. You don't have the money. Okay? 43% of families, 43% of the families are making below $40,000 and don't even have a bank account or a pension, which is sad. Okay? But we talked about this the last couple of episodes. My IRA, the government's helping you with, if you don't have a pension, with retirement plans, which I think that's a great thing. Okay? As far as the bank accounts, some families don't have bank accounts for a reason. Some families are collecting assistance, and they can't have bank accounts. Because if you have a bank account and you're collecting food stamps or Medicaid and stuff, that goes against you in certain states, especially if you have too much in the bank. Okay? So you're caught between a rock and a hard place because you're not making enough to feed your family, and you're getting food stamps, and even though you save a couple of dollars, if you save too many dollars, food stamps will cut you off. So you're caught between, again, a rock and a hard place. Or you won't get the subsidies for your living expenses, and, you know, if you're living in housing, then they'll look at you like, look, you're making all this money, so, or you have all this money in the bank, so, yes, your rent's going to go up. So, you know, sometimes you're caught, you have to not have a bank account. Because you don't want everybody to know all your business, because you may need the services, but you also need to put some money away for just in case. So, 50 to 60% of those Americans are so deep in credit card debt that they can't get out because they're not making enough money. They're not making enough money. So Federal Reserve Bank, thank you for telling us we Americans are broke. Like, we don't already know that. But thank you for pointing that out. We know we're not making enough money. We know we don't have bank accounts. We know that we can't, a $500 bill would be, you know, over the top for us because we can't afford it. We can't even afford to feed our families. And it's totally sad. It's this country is so rich. We should not have all these poor people and all these people struggling to just put food on the table. It makes no sense. We're spending billions of dollars on stupid stuff when you need to take that money and put it out to the people who are there for you, your own people. You know, there's nothing like, oh, yeah, XYZ country, here go $1.2 to get you out of debt. But yet, Susie, we can't give you no food stamps because you make 50 cents more than what you're supposed to. It makes no sense. Feed your own, take care of your own folks in your country, and help people once everybody's fed and everybody happy and we're doing a happy dance in the street and we have no poverty and everybody got a house and everything, fine. You know, my people doing good, everybody got jobs, everybody happy. Then maybe you take a couple of dollars and spend it on somebody else. Don't spend it on somebody else while your people out here hungry and begging and they struggling. That makes no sense. It just, government, I really can't explain it. I really can't. To me, sometimes they do stuff so half-ass backwards. Okay? Yes, there's good government programs out here. Yes, you got to go. But the government programs that are out here, they're starting to downsize those government programs while still giving away a whole bunch of money to other countries. I understand a lot of countries have disasters, and I understand we want to help. But my thing is, help your people in your country first, okay? Because I don't see too many checks from other countries coming saying, okay, United States, here go $1 trillion. We're going to help you and your people because we know y'all hungry and stuff. I don't think we're getting a check like that. I really don't. We the first ones over want to fight with somebody, and it ain't our fight to fight. And we the first ones want to send checks to help. And ain't nobody else over here doing the same thing for us. But this is not a political show, folks. It really is not. But it's just, this one kind of went hand in hand. And these are just my personal opinions, and I'm sure you have your own, and I like for you to share them here on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show. But it's just, you know, it made no sense. Maybe because I was watching these videos called The Working Poor, where people who are living on minimum wage, people who are on public assistance and things like that, people who are totally struggling. And maybe it got to me because there's no reason in the world, this country is supposed to be so rich that we have all these homeless and all these people struggling like that. There's no way in heck. And I've seen it up close and personal because I used to work for the welfare department in New York City. So I see what's going on. Okay, not everybody is on the up and up. You got some shysters out there that try to be slick Rickies. But then the bulk of the people that I did come in contact with did truly need help. Okay? So it was, you know, seeing it up close and then re-watching it on the video, it tears at your heart and it kind of makes you mad at, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? But on that note, I have a minute and 42 seconds because I ranted and raved. I hope everyone has a great Memorial Day. I hope your weekend was great. If you have any comments or suggestions, family, visit me or email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com. Visit me on Facebook, The Cheap Cheetah Money Show. Visit me at cheapcheetah.com. Give me your comments, your suggestions. If you like to see, what would you like to see in future shows? All that good stuff. Because we family, and we can be real with each other, and we can talk about certain things. But basically, we can help each other. And again, if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, and you like to meet up for coffee, coffee's on me the first time. I would love to meet you so we can sit down and talk about saving, making, and having fun with money. Email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and I'll let you know the particulars, where we're going to meet. It'll probably be somewhere in New York or Queens, what time, what day, all that good stuff. Folks, family, I'd love to meet you. to say hi, to find out what's going on in your life. So I'm trying to get this meet up. If you like to do it online, I can open up. We can do it online too. So that way more people can get involved that are not within the New York City areas. So let me know what you like to do. I like to do a meetup, so let me know. On that, keep your mind on your money on your mind. I love you. I miss you. And have a great Cheap Cheetah Day. I think they cut me off.